This morning is how to please God. And last week, we spent time contemplating the presence of God as revealed through the Scriptures. And so the Scriptures showed us how God desires to have fellowship with His creation. And this morning, as we continue to turn our hearts and our minds toward God, the question we must ask ourselves is, how can we please God? Amen? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 tells us this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so this passage in Hebrews is a profound and comforting reminder that it is God Himself who equips us to do what pleases Him. Amen? See, it's not about what we can accomplish through our limited ability or strength. It's only through Jesus Christ, the one raised from the dead, the great shepherd, that God works in us, enabling us to do His will. So how do we please God? Is it in the great things that we accomplish for Him? Well, what if we don't accomplish great things? Is it the time of our sacrifice for Him? Well, what if we fail to sacrifice? Is it in how much we give up for Him? Well, church, what if we give up very little? Is it how much we suffer for Him? But have we really suffered for Him? Is it in how much we give back to Him? But what if we fail to meet the minimum requirements? You see, the truth is, pleasing God does not rely on our ability to achieve perfection in any of those things. Because if it did, then we would all fail. The beauty of this passage in Hebrews is that it points us to the fact that God works in us for what is pleasing to Him. It's not about us hitting certain milestones or proving our worth. Instead, it's about His grace, His power at work in our lives in order to make us complete for every good work. See, we please God by allowing Him to work in us. We please Him by trusting in His ability to make us whole and to equip us for His will. And through Jesus, we are made acceptable before God, and so it is not our strength, but His. So if you ever find yourself asking the question, is it possible to please God? The answer is yes. Yes, it is. Because God Himself makes it possible. You see, we are invited into a life where He shapes our hearts, leads our steps, and ultimately, He receives the glory. Amen? All we have to do is remain open to His transforming work in us, trusting that He is faithful to complete it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So in order to please God, we must have faith. Amen? Amen. And faith begins with a belief that God is real. It is the conviction that not only does God exist, but that He is also good. See, this is more than an intellectual agreement. It is a deep trust in His goodness, no matter the circumstances. As we say, God is good all the time. And faith holds on to that truth, even when life suggests otherwise. See, it is a choice to believe that the one who created all things has not abandoned His creation. God is still involved, He is still caring, and He is still sovereign. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith declares that God is still alive and well and that he remains in control even when the world around us seems to be in chaos. And that's every day now when we turn on the news. Amen? Faith is the confidence that God will do what is right even when we can't see how it will unfold. And this kind of faith pleases God because it reflects our trust in his nature and his promises. So without faith, we cannot please him. Because faith is the very posture that aligns our hearts with his. It's the way we say, God, I trust you. Even when we don't have all the answers. Last week, we examined a significant point of the Bible. The Bible doesn't begin with an argument for God's existence. The Bible doesn't begin trying to prove that God is real. It simply states the undeniable truth, in the beginning, God. Amen? See, the simple yet profound statement sets the stage for everything else. It tells us that faith is not about having all the evidence laid out in front of us. It's about accepting the truth of God's presence and activity from the beginning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith begins by acknowledging that God is who he says he is and trusting in his character. And once we accept this fundamental fact, faith will then take us further. Amen? Faith believes that God is not only real, but that he is a gracious, loving, and a rewarding God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this means that God is not distant, nor is he detached. He is actively involved in the lives of those who seek him with a sincere heart. And he is ready to bless, guide, and reward those who trust him. Faith is, in essence, a relationship built on trust. See, faith is not a blind leap. Instead, it is a confident reliance on the goodness of God, knowing that he will never fail. And it is this kind of faith that pleases God, because it reflects a heart that is aligned with his will and with his nature. When we believe in him, seek him, and trust in his goodness, we are living in a way that will bring him great joy. So yes, with faith, we can please God, because faith opens the door for him to work in us, through us, and for us. Faith connects us to his heart, and through that connection, we experience the fullness of his grace and his goodness. And so it is through faith that we discover God's desire to reach out to us, encouraging, helping, and rewarding those who earnestly seek him. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus emphasizes this point. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." This promise from Jesus reveals God's eagerness to respond to our faith. Whether we are asking, seeking, or knocking, God is ready to meet us with his provision and his grace. Amen. And when we believe this, we please him. And living to please God should be the desire of each and every Christian this morning. To God's word, it challenges us to live lives that are pleasing to him. And so if our goal is to live a life that is pleasing to God, then we must do five things. Number one, first we must acknowledge that we live in his presence. We cannot ever forget that God is always with us, just as he promised. His presence is not distant or hidden. He is actively involved in our lives. From the beginning, Adam and Eve attempted to hide from God after they had sinned. But we see that God still sought them out. And this speaks to his desire for relationship, even when we stray. And just like Adam and Eve couldn't hide from God, neither can we. Jonah's story also reminds us that running from God is futile. See, there's more to the story of Jonah than a fish story. Amen? See, when Jonah fled, God pursued him. Not to punish Jonah, but that so Jonah would get back on the path that God had laid out before him, to get back to his purpose. And like Jonah, we may think we can run, but God's presence is always with us, guiding us back to where we belong. And like David found out, we cannot keep secrets from God. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10 say this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." David's deep reflection here shows no matter where we go, whether the heights of heaven or the depths of despair, God is there. Amen? Somebody get excited. No matter where we go, God is there. Amen? Yeah. There we go. See, God's presence is comforting for those who seek Him. But it also means that we cannot hide our sins or our secrets. And so this truth, it leads us to a choice. We can either run to Him now, accepting His forgiveness and embracing eternal life that He offers, or we can face Him later in judgment. And the wise choice is to come to Him now, while there is still time, in order to experience His mercy and His grace. Because, church, let me be very, very clear. If we fail to run to the Father now, we will have to face Him after we die. And we will face Him at the great white throne judgment, where we can offer no defense, no excuse. This morning, think about the things that you try to hide from God. Whether it's an action, a thought, or even your fears. Church, nothing is hidden from Him. He knows our hearts better than we do. And the truth is, we don't even know our hearts as well as we think we do. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 tell us this: "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." The Word of God makes it clear that our hearts are deceitful, and we often don't truly, fully understand the depths of our own struggles. But here's the amazing part. God knows us completely. God has seen the innermost parts of who we are. And instead of leaving us to drown in our mistakes or guilt, He invites us to come to Him. Hallelujah. When we approach Him with honesty and humility, He doesn't meet us with condemnation. Instead, He offers grace, healing, and the freedom that comes from His forgiveness. So we must be aware of His presence in our daily lives, embracing His constant companionship. And here's another profound truth. While we cannot hide from God, we can hide in God. As that wonderful old hymn says, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." In Psalm 32, verse 7, the psalmist says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And so it's easy to see that we please God when we choose to hide in Him instead of attempting to hide from Him. The second thing we must do in order to please God is we must explore His promises. And when you explore God's promises, you will discover that God loves you. Amen? Either y'all are really focused or you're really not excited. So as we explore His promises, we see that He loves us, that He knows us, and that God treasures us. He's willing to forgive us. And by the way, God is always with us. It's another promise we have in the Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" What a wonderful promise we find in God's Word. Amen? And unlike the promises that people make to one another, God will never break His promises. If God made a promise, you can take it to the bank. Amen? So this means that God will never leave our presence, and He will always be living inside us through His Holy Spirit. And so that is a promise that we can count on. And His promises go beyond mere words. They are deeply personal, speaking to every aspect of our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, sadly, many Christians treat God's promises simply as decorative. We like to hang them on our walls with pretty plaques and pictures. Or we put them in little treasure boxes that sing songs like "Standing on the Promises" or "Amazing Grace." But they fail to claim the promises for themselves in times of need. And what good are promises if they're only on plaques and in boxes and not in our hearts? The promise of the Holy Spirit living within us is not a distant theological concept, but it's a living reality. His presence empowers, comforts, and assures us that we belong to God. We have the promises of salvation, eternal life, and the hope of seeing Jesus face to face one day. Amen? And these promises must anchor our lives and fill our hearts. For they are not merely future hopes, they are present realities. So when we explore and live by His promises, we please God. The third thing that we must do in order to please God is we must experience His peace. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that peace is more than the absence of conflict. It is a deep, unshakable assurance that comes from being in the right relationship with Him. Amen? See, Jesus Christ is our peace. And through Him, we have access to a grace that sustains us in every situation, including times of trials and tribulations. You have to understand that God loves you.
We on? There we go. So Jesus Christ is our peace, and through him we have access to a grace that sustains us in every situation, including times of trials and tribulation. So God loves us and wants us to experience abundant peace and everlasting life. And as we study the scripture, we will find that word peace used in the Bible refers to a mental attitude of tranquility based on relationship with God in the Christian way of life. It is a word that describes the result of a person's correct response to God's grace. In the scriptures, we see the word peace used in two separate ways. The first is a personal peace with God, which comes when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then there's a peace of God which is only available on a daily basis as the believer participates in the Christian way of life according to the plan of God. See, God created us in his own image for us to have an abundant life. He did not make us robots so that we would automatically love and obey him. Instead, God gave us a free will and a choice of freedom. So let me be clear, we can still choose to disobey God and to go our own sinful ways. But this results in eternal separation from God. And as the saying goes, no God, no peace, versus no God, no peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, the peace that Jesus is offering is not fleeting or circumstantial. It is a lasting divine peace that calms our fears and steadies our hearts. Many Christians, however, miss out on this peace because they allow the worries and worldly concerns to dominate their minds. Too many Christians allow the white noise of what's going on in the world to distract them from what they truly must be focused on. This morning, listen to the words of Jesus as he spoke in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 34. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." So here we see God's promise that he will meet all of our needs if we simply trust him. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength." We are assured that God will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are steadfast because we trust in him. And this perfect peace is God's will for our lives. And when we rest in this peace, we please him. Amen? See, peace with God is never available apart from his grace. And the cross of Jesus is the focal point of his grace, and it is the source of his peace. Jesus Christ is our eternal peace and the source of pleasing God. Amen. And so, the fourth thing that we must do in order to please God is express our praise to him. Our goal in this life should be to continually praise the Lord, not only verbally, but in our everyday actions. Psalm 146:2 says, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." Yet many Christians forget or neglect to praise him. Whether due to busyness, distraction, or apathy, we can easily overlook giving God the gratitude and the worship that he deserves. Think back on this past week. How often did you offer the sacrifice of praise to our Heavenly Father? Or did you find yourself not praising God at all outside of church? For you see, all of heaven constantly praises God. The angels and the heavenly hosts worship him continually, and we are called to do the same thing. Amen? See, praise isn't just about Sunday morning or special occasions. It is a daily part of our lives. And for most of us, we need to do better. When we praise God for his blessings, for answered prayer, for his care and concern, we draw closer to him and align our hearts with his. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, praise is an indispensable part of relating to the Creator and Supreme Ruler who is exalted above all things. So we should give the Lord praise for the many blessings in our lives. This is why I give you the opportunity Sunday morning to praise God. Amen? We should also give him praise for the abundance of answered prayers, for taking time to let us know that he really cares about us. We should give the Lord praise for anything and everything because all that we have comes from him. We should give the Lord praise when we're in the midst of trials and tribulations. Amen? And when we do that, when we give the Lord praise for changing our discouragement to encouragement, he is pleased. And the life that pleases God is a life that is blessed, harmonious, truthful, and full of praise. And the fifth and final way that we can best please God is to imitate his Son. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 29, And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I will always do the things that please him. So this makes the answer to our question very easy. How can I please God? The easy answer is pattern your life after the life of Jesus Christ, and you will always please our Heavenly Father. Amen? See, God's goal is to transform us into the image of his Son. And our goal should be to allow him to do so. Jesus says he only does what pleases the Father. So shouldn't we want to live our lives to please the Father as well? We must submit our hearts and our lives to God because he alone is able to mold us and shape us into the image of his Son. And these things we know, our faith pleases him. We know that we've been called to believe, that we've been called to enjoy his peace and to rest in his finished work, that we've been called to find our hope in him and to trust in his love. And last, but certainly not least, we've been called to live a life that pleases him. And this is what pleasing God is all about, that we love him with all that we are and all that we have. To the extent that it makes a difference in the way that we act, in the way that we think, and the way that we live out our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says this, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. And then we see that Jesus echoed these words when he was asked what the greatest commandment was in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so obeying this command is the key to pleasing God. Amen. Pleasing God is not found in our striving or in the magnitude of our accomplishments, but in our faith. Faith that God is who he says he is. Faith that he is with us. And faith that he rewards those who seek him. Pleasing God begins with a humble acknowledgement that we cannot do it on our own. Amen? It is only through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, that we are equipped and made complete for every good work. So God invites us into a life of surrender, and he works in us and through us. And as we live in his presence and we explore his promises, we experience his peace, express our praise, we align our hearts with his. And ultimately, the most powerful way that we can please God is by imitating his Son, Jesus Christ, and allowing his life to be our example. So this morning, let us strive to live lives that reflect our deep love for God, loving him with all our heart, soul, and strength. And this is how we please God, by living in faith and allowing his grace to transform us and letting our lives become a reflection of his glory. May we pursue this daily, trusting in the one who is faithful to complete the good work that he has begun in us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we have explored to answer the question, how do we please you? And we know ultimately the best way that we can please you is through our faith in imitating your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, it's my prayer this morning that we would each search our hearts and see where we can do better. To search for those ways that we can strengthen our faith, to continually keep your praise on our lips, to experience your peace and daily acknowledge your presence. And this morning we lift up all these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, as we come to a close on our service, I invite you to come to the altar if your heart is burdened with something. I invite